Funding for WBUR comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
The Baker administration is downgrading the state's travel order to just an advisory and moving forward to the next phase of the state's reopening plan. Starting Monday, the state will allow venues, including stadiums and arenas, to reopen at reduced capacity. That move follows the move earlier this week by Governor Baker, announcing a timeline for when everyone over the age of 16 will be eligible for a COVID vaccine. To talk about all this and more, we're joined right now by Governor Charlie Baker, who joins us live on Morning Edition. Good morning, Governor, and thanks for speaking to us.
Good morning, Bob. How are you?
I'm good. Thanks again for being with us. Let's start this way by talking about vaccines. The plan is for everyone to be eligible to get a vaccine starting April 19th, but you've warned it will take time for everyone who wants an appointment for a vaccine to get one. To reach your stated goal of getting about 70% of the Massachusetts population vaccinated by July 4th to achieve herd immunity, how confident are you about this July 4th timeline?
Well, the first thing I'd say is that we'll certainly have the capacity, you know, the people to deliver shots here in Massachusetts to make this happen. The big question mark, which has been the big question mark all along, is how much supply will be available. And the good news there, which is why I'm optimistic about the timeline, is the Biden administration's task force told the governors earlier this week that they expected to not only up the shipments of Moderna and Pfizer, which I think, as most people know, is a two-dose vaccine, but to be able to dramatically scale the one-dose Johnson & Johnson vaccine. And obviously, the difference between one dose and being done and two doses and being done is pretty clear. And if they really do jack up the J&J distribution in a big way, that will change the game, not just for us in Massachusetts, but for everybody around the country.
You know, as more people get vaccinated, Governor, federal health officials like Anthony Fauci are warning that this is not the time to relax public health measures. They're worried about a possible fourth wave of the virus. They're concerned that though in some areas virus cases have plateaued, they're plateauing at too high a level. That concern voiced yesterday in Worcester. Do you share those concerns?
Absolutely. I think the vaccine process here is very much a race against time. I said that several weeks ago, which is why I was so frustrated about the message we were getting about supply. I do believe that we have the ability to dramatically speed up, you know, double the number of shots we deliver every day in Massachusetts if the supply is there. And we pay a ton of attention to the data we get around positive test rates and around hospitalizations and deaths and ICU beds. I mean, that stuff is critically important to us as we make decisions. And I would just say that some of the changes that we've made are, I would argue, consistent with the public health data. I mean, our hospitalization rate has dropped dramatically over the course of the past 2 months. And our positive test rate, while it has leveled out, is leveled out at 2%, which is below 2%, which is significantly down. It was 8.5% in January. And I think in many ways, this whole thing has always been a balancing act. We constantly go back to the data that's available through the very large data collection infrastructure that we've built here in Massachusetts. And we constantly, you know, make adjustments based on that information. But I do think the fact that we're vaccinating an extraordinary number of people, we're the number one state in the country on a per capita basis among all the large states, and we're putting all the vaccine we get from the feds into people's arms virtually immediately. So I feel if their supply numbers pan out the way the administration's talked about it, we should have a heck of a lot more people vaccinated in a pretty short period of time.
You have taken criticism over the vaccine rollout, though, from teachers, from other essential workers, about clunky vaccine signups. Any regrets? Would you have done things differently if you could, looking back?
Well, hindsight's a great thing, Bob, as we all know. But I think The biggest challenge that we and other states have faced is this whole issue around available supply. And the actual order in which people are getting vaccinated in Massachusetts, we had a vaccine advisory committee that helped us develop the phased rollout. The phased rollout, for the most part, that we put out in December is pretty much the phased rollout we're on right now. We expected that sometime around Patriots Day, we would be opening it up to everybody in Massachusetts, and that we were going to start with some populations that were significantly important to both preserving life and protecting our healthcare system. And that's what we did. And, you know, the whole sort of essential worker community and teacher community, educator community, childcare workers, teachers, and K-12 staff, they're currently eligible and they were prioritized by us. That process, for the most part, has played out pretty much along the lines of the rollout plan that we announced back in December. Now, I get the fact that I do get the fact that everybody's anxious about this and people want to get vaccinated. That's why we have something like, oh boy, the last time I looked, I think we have 900,000 plus people signed up on our pre-registration system. And we already have 1 million people who are fully vaccinated and 1.7 million have had at least one shot. I mean, that just speaks to how anxious people are to get their vaccine. And I get the fact that that anxiety plays a part in the way people feel about everything. And I'm completely sympathetic to that. And people who want to get vaccinated are going to get vaccinated. They are. It's just a question of how fast we can get the supply.
I want to ask a reopening question. Tell our listeners why you think it's safe. This is a safe time to get our children back into classrooms.
Well, this has been an ongoing discussion for over a year. And I would say three things, Bob. The first is the data from all over the globe, including here in Massachusetts, is overwhelmingly clear that schools with mitigation in place, and the mitigation for the most part is reasonably consistent from place to place to place, are a safe place. And in Massachusetts, you have literally tens of thousands of public school kids and staff and teachers, private school kids and staff and teachers, and parochial school kids and staff and teachers who've been in school in person 5 days a week since August. And they've done it safely and successfully. But that's not just true here in Massachusetts. That's literally true all over the country and all over the world. And there have been numerous studies that have been done that say the same thing, which is that kids in school with the proper precautions in place is a safe place for kids and a safe place for grownups and for adults. And I think the study that we did, which involved, you know, hundreds of thousands of staff and students around the 3 feet versus 6 feet issue with regard to distance, was a pretty clear indicator that 3 feet works. And there's no difference between 3 feet and 6 feet. And I'm glad that the CDC, based on the results of our study, has taken another look at this question. And the final thing I would say, Bob, we're also the only state in the country that's made available to our school districts a weekly surveillance testing program for those that are interested in pursuing it. And we're paying for it. And we have 177 school districts, that's half the districts in Massachusetts, that have signed up to participate in it. So I think we've got a lot of the protocols, tons of sort of experiential data at this point, as well as some pretty solid surveillance tools that are available to schools. And boy, the data coming from the pediatric community and from others in the sort of child welfare space about the impact of no in-person learning on kids is really disturbing.
Quick question about rebuilding the travel and tourism economy. We've had pretty much zero conventions here. Hotels, restaurants, bars, museums, all hurting. You're not suggesting they'll be back to normal anytime soon, but what's the message to convention bookers and tourists who might want to come here? Is the welcome mat open?
You know, that's a really good question, Bob. I have many friends who work in that industry, and in the past 6 years as governor, I've gotten to know a ton of those people as well. There's probably no industry that's been hit harder than the one that relies on a business traveler or a tourist for their success. And that's part of the reason why we created one of the largest, if not the largest, sort of small business support grant programs in the country. But I think what I guess I would say, Bob, is what that industry needs most of all is for countries to successfully implement a vaccine strategy and to get to the point where, you know, herd immunity, which you talked about at the beginning of this conversation, is basically in place, not just nationally here in the U.S., but globally. And the good news there is, you know, as more and more vaccines become available, more and more people are getting vaccinated. But I think it's going to be a long ride on this one. And we'll do what we can with our resources and with federal resources to support the folks and the businesses in those industries as we work our way through this. But anybody who's, you know, anybody who's been in Logan Airport any time in the past year knows how big a hit the global travel market has taken as a result of COVID.
Last question. We've got about a minute left. Democrats and Republicans alike want to know if you're going to run for another term. Let's acknowledge you haven't yet answered that question. But do you want to keep doing this? I ask because WBUR's Steve Brown figured out that in the last year in the pandemic, you've conducted something like 180 almost daily briefings. And if you strung them all back to back, it would run 7 full days. Aren't you a little tired of all this? Has it beat the desire out of you to continue, or do you want to do it again?
So, Bob, I'm just curious to know if when you got to around the 15-year mark, anybody said to you, gee, Bob, you've been doing this every single morning, 5 days a week for 15 years. Do you really want to keep doing it? And I got a feeling your answer to that was yes. And as a result, we have been blessed to have you for way more than 15 years on our radio every morning in our homes and in our cars. I'm pulling your leg a little bit here, but I think the answer to the question is both Lieutenant Governor and I have been incredibly blessed to have the opportunity to do these jobs on behalf of the people of Massachusetts. I lived here most of my life. I spent a big part of my career in state and local government. I really believe in the power and the importance of state and local government, and we have a ton of work to do even once we get past this pandemic to try to, you know, help people find a way back. We're doing a big report on the future of work. You know, what is work going to look like? Where are people going to work? Where are they going to live? How are they going to work given everything that's changed as a result of the pandemic? There's plenty to do here.
So I got to go, but it surely sounds like you're not done yet.
Same to you, Bob. And by the way, congratulations on an unbelievable run, really. Seriously, on behalf of the people of the region, your voice is one many, many, many of us wake up to practically every day. So thank you.
Well, thank you, Governor Baker, for coming on Morning Edition. Let's have you back as soon as you can. And I'd also put the invite out for WBUR's All Things Considered and Radio Boston when you can do that. Thank you, Governor Baker.
Okay, take care.